I can have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. Our vision is seen in these four ways. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you and praise you, God. I thank you that we are in victory and we appreciate what you've done for us. We know everything won't be easy, but we're looking for a season of victory that settles over our life, God. We've sown, we prayed, we cried, and it's our time to live in victory, and we thank you for it. Now, God, speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. High beneath the cross, let it be all of you and less of me, and let the people be eternally touched and blessed in Jesus' name. And the people shout, amen. Amen. Last week we discussed, did you ask? And we talked about the ask, seek, knock principle. And then Matthew 7:11 was the premise of the sermon. And would you read that, Mother Mitchell?
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
So how much more will him being our Father, he's not just God, he is our Father, he will give good things to those who ask. So that was the premise of us talking about that. And then we asked you another question, or we add another point, and it's like, did you ask and still not receive? And so we had that, and then we followed it up with Matthew 7:12, and we begin to talk about before you go asking God, you have to make sure you have a certain posture and position, and it starts off by operating in the golden rule. So read Matthew 7:12.
So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
And then we added one other thing as we ended that it should be good for us to do, and we'll put this up.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So that's how we ended last week. Did you ask? And that's going to roll us into this week, which is how do I receive? Somebody say that. How do I receive? So it's one thing to ask. It's another thing to know how to receive. Now, I chose this background for a reason, because it was very similar to what we seen while we were cruising. We seen white sand beaches and beautiful ocean. And the God who has that all around this globe, he is your Father. And if he can do all that, you know he can do something for you. And whether you are traveling abroad or not, sometimes you can stand in Muncie, Indiana, and just look up at the sky and see the most beautiful painting you've ever seen in your life. Every day there's a brand new painting up above your head. And the God that can do all that, he is your Father. And so at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, how do I receive? Because the problem is not with the giver. Oftentimes the problem is the receiver. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Oftentimes we know it, especially when someone we respect takes us out to eat. And they say, buy anything on the menu that you want. If you have any sense, it's hard for you to buy the most expensive thing, because you don't want to feel like you're taking advantage of a person. It's hard to receive when somebody says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to take you to the mall and have you buy a suit. Well, when I go to the mall, I go to the clearance section. So if you say you're going to take and buy me something, I want to go to the clearance section too. I don't want to overstep my bounds. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, because people will take advantage of you. If I first met you and I take you out to eat and you order the most expensive thing and you order two of them, I'm going to pay for it because I told you to get whatever you want, but I may never bring you back. because I have a limited supply. And so it's okay sometimes to be that way with a person, but God is not a God of limited supply. God is a God of limitless supply. So when God says you can ask, you better ask. And when God says you can receive, you better learn how to receive. And so today we got to learn how to receive. It does me no good to be in victory and I don't know how to receive. It does me no good to ask and I don't know how to get what he sends. Because sometimes what he sends doesn't look like what we asked for. It may be our answer, but it don't always look that way. Somebody said something about sometimes God sends us opportunities that are wrapped up in work. And because it looks like work, we don't know how to receive it. And because it looks like effort, we don't know how to receive it. So we have to learn how to receive. Now, having said that, let's go to Hebrews 6 and 10.
God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them.
Okay, what does this have to do with anything? And why are you going in the middle of a passage? Because if you remember what we just read, let's go back to not the title, but the previous verse right above the title. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Go to Hebrews 6 and 10 again. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. So when he tells you to love him with all your heart, it says he doesn't forget when you do it. Because sometimes you had to love God when it was hard. And sometimes you had to come to church when things were rough. And God says, I have not forgot. And here's the thing. He is not an unjust God, but he's a just God. Not only the love you've shown him, but as you have helped his people and continue to help them, he says, I remember that. So when you love God and love people, you're not doing it for any other reason or any other reward. But God says, I see it. He sees every time you love him sacrificially. The Bible says we offer the sacrifice of praise. And we always tell you, you should be praising God. But what we don't say is sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Because you're hurting too bad to praise. Sometimes it's hard to say thank you for waking up when hell is all around you. But you press through and you say it because you love your God. And the Bible says he's not an unjust God. He will not forget. Verse 11.
We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized.
What we don't want you to do is stop. We want you to show what you've been doing till the very end. Be not weary and well-doing, because you'll reap if you faint not. That faint not means if you don't lose heart, if you don't cave in, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, if you don't throw in the towel, if you can see this thing to the end, it's going to be victory for you. Even if it's not victory on this side, it's guaranteed victory on that side. So don't you stop. Don't you quit. We want each of you to show this diligence. Keep on pushing. Keep on pressing. Keep on asking. Keep on praising. Keep loving when it hurts to love. Keep loving the unlovable. Keep talking to God even when he's not talking back. Keep putting stuff in the offering even when stuff is not breaking loose. Keep anointing your head with oil even though your body's not healed yet. Keep on talking to your mind even though you're confused. Keep praising God even though it don't look like you got something to praise God for, because it's in your diligence and pressing through. This is not for the weak. This is not for the wishy-washy. This is not for the folk that think God is like Santa Claus and he's like a genie in the bottle and he moves every time we have a need. Sometimes he can see you with a need and say nothing, but you got to keep on pushing. Job said, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. I'm hurting. I'm broken. Folk have died around me. My body's messed up. But I still believe I'm going to see God. And he said, all my appointed days, I'm going to hold till my change comes. You got to believe victory is coming. And victory is here. And you got to push on through. And you got to be diligent till the end. The Bible says a man, talking about ministry, who puts his hand to the plow and then turns back, he's not worthy. You got to be able to go. And then there was Lot's wife who was getting ready to get out, getting ready to be rescued. And then she turned around and looked back and lost what she had. And after years of studying that, I realized what happened. There was, the angels had a radius of protection. And in order for her to look back, she had to step outside of the protection. And she lost everything God was trying to do. It may hurt. It may be bad. You have to understand, Lot's wife probably had some friends there. There were probably some things she wanted. There was probably some stuff left in there she wanted to get. You know, when you have a fire, you ain't got time to go in and get your iPhone. And go in and get your iPad. And there's a suit in the closet I really like. When there's a fire, you got to get out and save your life. And some of us don't understand that. We keep trying to go back to old stuff and go back to old relationships. And just because we're a church of grace, we want to stay in the club all week long and then come to church. I'm not saying you can't do that and be saved. But time out for looking back to what God has already brought you from. Be diligent to the end. Tell your friends and tell your spouse and tell the devil, come hell or high water, I'm going with God. I'm choosing God. For God I live, for God I die. You can't make me back up. You can't make me turn around. You can't make me quit. God's been too good for me. I'm saved and I'm going to be saved. I'm sanctified and I'm going to be sanctified. I'm fire baptized and I'm going to be fire baptized. I may slip and fall, but I'm not letting go of what God has done for me. Be diligent to the very end. Now here's the thing. It'd be interesting if he said, be diligent till you get out of the woods. Be diligent until the pressure let up. He said, be diligent to the very end. So what that means is, no matter how saved you are and how much victory you have, some stuff you're going to have to take to the very end. The Bible says, in this life, the godly shall and the godly must suffer persecution. Because you godly, there's some stuff you got to go through. There are some knives with your name on it. What do you mean? Because they're getting ready to be put in your back to see, can you keep walking this thing? Can you love like God loved? What about Jesus, who walked and talked and talked and did miracles, but when it was time for him, folks said, crucify him. And then the 12 that was on his team, they scattered and left. One of them betrayed him with a kiss. It's one thing to betray me. It's another thing to betray me with a kiss over 30 pieces of silver. If Jesus went through it, you need to stop crying yourself and buck up and say, I'm going to the very end. They may have stabbed me in the back. They may have walked out on me. They may have lied on me. They may have talked about me. But none of them are worth my salvation. I'm going to the very end. And the first way you receive is make up in your mind, nothing is going to cost me my salvation. Nothing is going to keep me from the will of God over my life. Nothing is going to stop me from pursuing the call of God. There's not a high great enough. There's not a set of boobs big enough. There's not a cocaine great enough. I'm not walking away from the call of God on my life. I'm diligent to the very end. Now, yes, I'm going to need help. And yes, I'm going to need prayer. And sometimes I may have to cry at the altar. But whatever it takes, God paid too high a price for me to walk away from this thing now. I don't feel no ways tired. Not because I'm not tired, but I've come too far from where I started from. I've been married 18 years. Why should I start cheating now? No, I come too far. I done spent too much money on Devin to mess up marriage now. I've come too far. I paid too many mortgage payments to lose my house in a divorce. I've come too far from where I
started from. Devin might say, I done cooked too many meals. I done washed too many drawers to turn back now. You got to make up in your mind, I'm going all the way. And one thing I learned about God, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And I love to do this demonstration. God's steps are always bigger than our steps. So when I draw to God, God draws to me. When I step to God, God steps to me. And some of the reason why you're failing is because you haven't made a move to God. God is right where you left him the last time. With his arms outstretched saying, come on, I'm ready to do something. Let's move to the next verse.
We do not want you to become lazy.
That's what I want to get us to. That's what I'm talking about. I say it all the time. I'm tired of lazy Christians. And Paul said it in the New International Version. We don't want you to become lazy. And some people call it this way, sloppy agape and greasy grace. So some people believe in once saved, always saved. Now, I didn't used to ever believe in that. But the more I look at grace, I understand that once you are saved, there's no reason for you not to be saved because the price is paid.
Yeah. Amen.
But see, here's the thing is when you know the price is paid, sometimes you just get lazy. I ain't got to fight sin. I'm going to heaven. But you may have to go through hell to get there. Don't you play with this thing. This is not the season to play. People are going and riding on a duck boat in Branson, Missouri, just trying to have fun. And then a storm hits and everybody's life is lost. You do not have time to play with this thing. You better go all the way with God. Stop being lazy in the things of God. Stop waiting months to pick up your Bible. And this is the best place to hide something in a Christian's home is in the Bible. Because ain't nobody going to look there. Full of death, it sits on the coffee table. It looks good. You put your remote on top of it. But it's time out for that. Open up that Bible. Get in the Word of God. Talk to God. Don't you wait till Sunday morning to praise God. Don't be lazy. But do what?
But to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
Number one step to receiving from God is going to cost you faith and patience. In the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit is long suffering. I really don't like that fruit. I like love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance and faith, but why you had to throw in long suffering? Because what God wants you to know, some stuff is not going to happen right away. It's going to take some long suffering, but you have to make up in your mind, this God will work in me what I need to stay in it. Now, me and my wife, we have a good marriage. We really have a great marriage, and we make it better and better every day. But some people have been married 18 years, and they stopped being married in the first six of them. The last 12, they just barely existed. You need long suffering to keep from going to divorce court. You need long suffering sometimes to deal with that boss that's bothering you, that you'd really like to cuss out and punch in the face, but your bills cost too much for you to act a fool. So you need long suffering. You need long suffering to watch the person go to the mall and buy Jordans and you know they owe you money and they duck and dodge you. You need long suffering. You need long suffering to deal with a Christian that talks to you on Sunday morning, but when they see you outside of the place, they act like they don't see you and don't want to speak to you. You need long suffering. Because when you deal with folk, here's the thing, I could be saved if I didn't have to deal with people. I'd be the best Christian in the world if I never had to talk to people, but folk act funny. And sometimes church folk act the funniest. And you need long suffering to look at somebody smiling in your face when you know they're talking about you all the time. You need long suffering. And it costs you not just faith, but patience to inherit the promise. Took us 8 years to have one baby. I don't know why it took that long, but I needed faith and patience. I've been pastoring 7 years without a salary. I don't know why it's taken this long, but I need faith and patience. You need faith and patience to inherit the promise.
All right, let's just bring it real practical. If my daddy has left me $1 million in the will, it's really bad of me to say, I wish he'd hurry up and die. And when we go out to eat or he comes to my house and he wants some milk, and I see if I can drop something in his milk and hope, rush up the experience because I want what's promised to me. No, that's a bad spirit. That's a real bad spirit. I should say, I know I got something coming to me, but I'm not in a rush because I love the relationship I have with my father. And because of the relationship I have with my father, the $1 million that will be coming to me, that's secondary to me. I'd rather have relationship with him. And what God says, I've got blessings and benefits, but some of y'all don't know how to have relationship with me. You only are serving me as long as I'm doing what you want me to do. But I need somebody that'll love me because I woke them up this morning. And love me because they still got breath in their body. And love me because they're not 6 feet under. And love me for every time I brought them out. And love me for every time they were backed in the corner and I opened up the Red Sea. I need somebody to love me for what I've already done. Faith and patience. A lot of us, we run out in faith. And faith is tricky. Because like Peter, you can step out on the water, be walking good one Sunday, and the next Sunday you sinking. You don't know what hits you. Faith will do that, but you need faith and patience to inherit the promise. So in other words, what you got to do is you got to dig in. The scripture says, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Which, what that means is your roots go deep. You have to do a whole lot to me before me to leave this church. You may stop me from pastoring. You might sit me down. And it may be done wrong. But something in me still wants to be in somebody's church. If I don't go to this church, I'm going to somebody's church. I'm not going to let nobody keep me from the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Now, I love Chick-fil-A. Somebody say, Pastor, where you going with this? Just hold on. Love Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. There's some anointing on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I almost speak in tongues when I get it in my car. Now, Brother Will, you know me and you like the watermelon mint lemonade they had last year. And I had already made up my mind I was going to buy you a jug, and they didn't sell it this year. I don't know what's wrong with them. There was an anointing on that lemonade. I love Chick-fil-A. But last year when I picked up Kevin on stage, me and Stephen picked him up to bring him here for the comedian show. When I picked him up, he wanted Chick-fil-A too. And I said, there's a Chick-fil-A right here in the airport. So we all got Chick-fil-A. On riding on the way back, that was the nastiest, driest Chick-fil-A sandwich I had ever tasted in my life. I don't know what they did. I don't know how long they had it out, but it was awful. But guess what? I didn't stop going to Chick-fil-A just because I had one bad experience with one Chick-fil-A. I don't go to the church because people hurt you in church. You got hurt in that church. That don't mean you got to give up on all churches. When you go to Walmart and you get there and you're in a rush and they only have one register open, it gets on your absolute nerves. But the next time you need something from Walmart, you take your hind end right on back. But why is it when you come to church, everything got to be perfect and everybody got to do you right, or I can't come back to church and I don't know what they're doing with the money, so I can't give. You give to everything you want to give to, but you hold the church to such a high standard. The truth of the matter is you don't have faith and patience. And you want the church just to be perfect. You want the church to do everything right. We are all trying to get to heaven together. We're not going to do everything right. Everybody in here is not going to treat you right. Buck up. Stop being a baby. We don't have pacifiers to give out to you. You don't let nothing stop you from getting what God has promised.
And a lot of us, we use excuses because we don't want to press anymore. And the truth of the matter is we've got depressed, we've got tired, we've got burnt out, and so we need an excuse. Well, I'm not getting fed anymore, so I left that church. Well, what church are you going to? Bedside Baptist is all you're doing is sleeping in the bed. It wasn't that you're not getting fed. You quit on God. Tell the truth. You quit. And even if you quit, we still love you. But here's the thing. I'm trying to raise up a body of believers that will not quit. My daddy, what he did to me, I'm going to use this term lightly. He lied to me. But it was the best lie he ever told. Because he told me, Mitchells do not quit. He instilled that in me. It wasn't until I was older that I realized anybody can quit. But what he was trying to do is put in my psyche that quitting is not even an option. And when you go through something and quitting is already on the table, you've already failed. Some people, when they get married in the first argument, they talk about divorce. You're already setting yourself up for failure. You got to make up in your mind, quitting is not an option. Going to hell is not an option. Giving up on God is not an option. Not loving my neighbor is not an option. Not giving God praise is not an option. Not tithing is not an option. That's not even on the table. God's been too good to me to have quitting on the table. So I use that term lightly again. I'm going to tell y'all the same lie. Deliverance Temple people do not quit. There's not quit in this. When you want to quit, you'll find a way to keep on going. When you want to give up, you find a way to to get up and go again. Even if you try to commit suicide and you take 100 pills, none of the pills will work. You're going to wake up praising God and wonder why you're still here. Because you can't quit on God, because quit is not in us. Refuse to quit. And this is how you receive. You receive by digging your heels in and saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going on to be with the Lord. All right, let's go to our next point. Waiting and worrying is not patience. I'm going to turn a little corner on you. So you don't have a quit in you, and you have faith, and you're in patience. And you're waiting on God. Because you know the scripture said, he that waits on the Lord shall renew their strength. But you're waiting and worrying. And when you're waiting and worrying, you're really not in patience. Because really what you're doing, you have stopped being in faith. And you're spending most of your time in fear. And most of the prayers that you pray are not based in faith. They're based in worry. Oh, God. Oh, protect my child. Oh, I know he just got his license. Protect him. You're not praying out of faith. You're praying because you're scared. You're praying because you're worried. You're praying because every sound you hear, you think somebody's breaking in your house. Oh, Jesus, please protect me, God. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you got to pull yourself together. My son Draylen, he's our dramatic son. He's the one in theater and stuff. But when he gets fearful, sometimes he freaks out, and I grab him and I say, pull yourself together. It's one thing to be scared, but it's another thing to freak all the way out. Pull yourself together. And I want to tell you the same thing. Pull yourself together. But I wonder what? I wonder, what if? Pull yourself together. What if my child does this? Pull yourself together. You can't be in faith, and you can't be pressing and stuck worrying and got up all night. Pull yourself together. Get out of this worrying. I'm not saying you don't plan, and I'm not saying you don't think. I'm talking about you have night sweats over stuff that has never happened. You lose sleep over stuff that has never happened. You make purchases over stuff that has never happened. Years ago, me and my dad were in a car. We were listening to Moody Radio. It was 1999. And in 2000, in the turn of the millennium, they said there was something called Y2K, where all the computers was going to shut down. And we don't know what it's going to do and all this and that. And so one of the Christian radio people came on and was giving folk what they should do. And he said, y'all need to buy guns.
Y'all need to bury water. And me and my dad was looking like, this is supposed to be the Christian perspective. And when 2000 hit, nothing happened. Folk were worried over something that never was going to happen. And the devil is keeping you up all night over stuff that's not even going to happen. Pull yourself together. Yeah, sometimes you just got to talk to your mind. And I'm not saying it's always easy. Because you can get a bill, like my mama says, that will send you to bed. You can get some news that will sucker punch you and gut punch you. But after you get done crying, after you get done sweating, after you done get done going through what you're going through, you got to get up and pull yourself together. Because life still goes on. In Missouri, when that family, that whole family lost, there was one, two of them made it. Of the 11, two of them were survivors. One of them was a lady, and she has connections to Indianapolis, actually works in Indianapolis. And so they were interviewing her, and she's hurt and she's broken, but she's talking about what we're going to do to move on. I don't know what it would feel like to lose that many family members in one setting, but sometimes you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to pull myself together. Yeah. It's not fair. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I'm going to talk to God, but devil, you're not going to make me back up. You're not going to make me quit. I'm going to pull myself together. Yes, my child is locked up. I don't know when they're going to get out, but I'm going to pull myself together. I'm going to pray they're protected. They get something in there. They get a GED. They get something. I'm going to pull myself together. I didn't come this far to throw in the towel. I didn't come this far to go crazy. I didn't come this far to wear a straight jacket. I'm going to pull myself together because I can't have patience tossed to and fro with every little thing. I can't have faith always backing up and turning around. I'm tired of the devil always throwing something at me that shuts me all the way down. I got to stand up and say, no, I'm going to make it through. You got to learn how to not shut all the way down. Let me talk to you women. Sometimes y'all like that. You shut all the way down and you go into your bubble. And your husband says, baby, what's wrong? Nothing. We know something's wrong. It's just whether we want to spend the time to figure out what you're going through. Because sometimes we'll take that nothing and we'll go do what we got to do because we know it's going to be a long thing. Sometimes you just got to say, listen, I'm hurting, but I'm going to make it through. Honey, I don't need you. Me and God are going to get through with this. That's okay. I ain't got to hold you all night long. And you ain't got to cry on my shoulder. No, I don't need that. Me and God. Yeah, and here's the reason why some of y'all are not married. Because you think a man's going to fix all your problems. Whether you have a man in the bed or not, a warm body in the bed or not, there's going to be some times you got to turn to God. And let me be honest, sometimes the reason why you turn to God is because of the warm body that's in your bed. And you wish they would find another place to live. You wish they would sleep downstairs on the couch. You wish they wouldn't touch you and breathe on you. You cannot put your faith and trust in man. There's only one person that you can trust. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. That's the only thing you can trust. Put your faith in a Republican if you want to, you lose your faith. Put your faith in a Democrat if you want to, you lose your faith. And this is what a lot of African Americans don't know. For years, African Americans voted Republican. Because the Republicans had lined themselves with what we believed in. Those people who fought to end slavery, they were of the Republican Party. But then years later, it switched to the Democrat Party because the Democrats were treating us better. Basically, we've been hoodwinked by both of them. Don't put your faith in a system. Don't put your faith in a job. Don't put your faith in General Motors. Put your faith in God. I want you to love me. I want you to honor me. I want you to respect me. But don't put all your faith and trust in me. If I start sinning tomorrow, you better find a church that you can go to. Don't put your faith in man. Put your trust in God. Matthew 6:25. Let's go there.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life.
Now, here's this thing. He didn't say, I hope you don't. He didn't say, I suggest you don't. He said, do not, which means it's a command. Read it again.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear.
It didn't say do not think about it and do not plan for it. It says do not worry. Sometimes, let me give you an example. This just popped in my head. You don't have the money to send your child to the first day of school with brand new Jordans that cost $200. You can't afford that. It would be unwise for you to do that. And you're afraid that your child is going to be laughed at. But God leads you to the clearance rack and you find some Jordans on sale. And you know they're not the new ones, but you give them to your child and you tell them how to be thankful for the $75 tennis shoes that you had to stretch to give them to them. But in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I don't want my son to be made fun of. But when he go to school, somebody say, oh, man, those are the retro Jordans. When they bringing them back, they think they wearing something new when they got something old. Because when God makes up the difference, folk don't know what's going on. People think you in a $1 million suit and you ain't paid nothing but 50 cents at the Goodwill. Don't worry about it. God got your back. God will do stuff that you don't know he's done. God will make you put money in your pocket and forget the money's in your pocket until 2 months later you wear the thing again and you don't have the money you need and you reach in your pocket and there's $20 that God saved for you because you're too lazy to save yourself. So God knows and got you taken care of. God knows how to fix it up. Don't you worry yourself. God know how to do it. All right, read the rest of that.
It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes.
Here's what God is saying. It's not that this is not important, but what he's saying is that this is the basics. Isn't life more than just food and clothes? Isn't it? In other words, if life was just food and clothes, you expect God to come and do it all. But God says life is more than that. So don't worry about the basics. Let's look at the next verse.
Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
When we were on at Cozumel, Mexico, when we were there, it was a beach setting and they had a buffet. It was all you can eat and drink, and we would go and be in the water and be in the sand and do what we wanted to do. Well, toward the end, they was closing things up and we was going to have to get back on the boat. And me and Dre, they wanted some of that fresh pineapple, some of the freshest pineapple we ever tasted in our life. We wanted some of that. So we went there, but they didn't have no pineapple. But they had a few more chips and chicken and stuff and a pico de gallo. So I got some of that Mexican food and put it all on a plate and ate what I wanted. But I knew I wasn't going to eat it all. I just ate some of it because I was going to be full. But since it was free and it was all you can eat and I paid for it, I filled my plate up. You can judge me if you want, but I filled my plate up. Knowing I wasn't going to eat it all, but I didn't like the way they was closing stuff up before it was time to go. I paid to eat all day, and I want to eat all day. Even if I'm not going to eat it all, I want to put it on my plate. So I ate just a little bit of it, and I left it on the plate, and me and my son went back out to go to the ocean. When we turned back, we looked. That birds was coming and sneaking and grabbing tortilla chips and flying back off. And getting what they wanted to get. See, because even though I wasn't going to eat it, God had already provided for me to leave it there because the birds he was going to feed. And if God can take care of birds, he can take care of you. Somebody going to drop $100 bill just where you need to get it. And don't be no fool running around. Anybody lost this, just thank God and put it in your pocket. Thank God for the blessing. God knows how to come through for his children. If he take care of the birds in the air, and sometimes they get on your nerves, they wake up singing and chirping and praising God because they know they ain't got to worry about how they're going to eat and when it's going to come and what they're going to wear because the God that created them already has a plan for their life. If God can do it for a sparrow, if he can do it for a crow, if he can do it for a buzzard, I know he can do it for one of his children. It says, are you not much more valuable than they? And here's the problem. Because of what you've been through, you don't find yourself valuable. But you got to talk to yourself and lie to yourself if you have to. Say you're the best looking thing in the world. I know you got love handles for days, but talk to yourself and say, somebody going to love all these love handles. And if don't nobody love them, God's going to love me the way I am. Maybe I do need to be healthy, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to get a gym membership. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to eat what I got to eat, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not trying to lose weight to make myself more beautiful. I'm already beautiful, and somebody is already being ready to be made for me, to be my mate. I thank God he got it already taken care of. Somebody is already gathering up money to pay for my business idea. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm not here to worry. The God that I serve, he can bring it all the way through. I just might find a penny worth $1.7 million. I don't know how God going to do it, but I'm not going to worry. Through faith and patience, I'm going to get what belongs to me. Verse 27.
Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
How futile is your worrying? Well, we're going to get evicted in 48 hours. Well, by your worrying, is it going to turn 48 to 50 hours? No, it's still going to be 48 hours. So sometimes you just got to say, God, I thank you. First thing what you got to do is you got to stop spending money you don't have on stuff you don't need. If you know you have rent, you need to put your money on the rent. And if you don't put your money on the rent and you are going to get evicted, sometimes you just say, hey, I made a mistake, but you ain't got time to worry about it. God will make a way. God will do something for you. You might get evicted in the time when it's in the middle of spring where it's good and I can sleep on a park bench, but nothing happened to me. I don't know how I'm going to be taken care of, but I will not worry myself. Next verse, verse 28.
And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin.
They don't even labor. They don't even worry, but they're so beautiful. I got some tulips in my old house that come up every year, and I don't do nothing for them, nothing to them. I don't water them. I don't trim them. I don't try to do nothing because that's not my expertise. I'm not good at that. But because they're what you call perennials or whatever you call them, they come up every year, and they still look beautiful. Even though I give them no attention, they still look good. Well, don't nobody ever notice me, and nobody ever gives me a plaque, and nobody ever tells me how good I am. Don't worry about who not telling you. God still sees, and when God gets good and ready, can't nobody stop you from the blessing he's going to put on your life. The Bible says of Cornelius, the Bible says that God said his prayer and his giving came up as a memorial before the Lord, and he interrupted Peter and said, Peter, you got to go to his house, because even though nobody knows what he's doing, I see it, and nobody may see you. I, as your pastor, may not see you, and I may always pass by you, and I never shake your hand, and I never hug you, but you got to understand there's a God that sees you every day, and the God that sees all, he knows all, and he's never forgotten you, and he's never let a beat off of being in your life. Don't you quit. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. I know some of y'all young folk don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying some of the songs that got us through, the songs of Zion. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Verse 29.
Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these.
Solomon, the richest man that ever lived that we know about in the Bible, says even he wasn't dressed like the lily. And you have to understand, Solomon was awesome, but Solomon did not have the new covenant that we have. And the Bible says when Jesus came, he said somebody greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was great, but we have something greater in us than Solomon. So you have to just chill out, pull yourself together, and know God gonna work it out. First of all, you already live, you are already in the 1% of the richest people in the entire world. Now, in America, we may not have what the top 1% have, but all you got to do is travel overseas and you'll be thankful. Even though you don't like the administration, you don't like Republicans and Democrats, travel overseas and you'll find out, you thank God that you are where you are.
I don't like slavery. I don't like what they did to us. But thank God we got ourselves over here somehow, because there's some crazy stuff that happened in Africa that we missed. Thank God for his providence, even though it didn't look like it. All things work together for the good. All right, next verse.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith.
Number one, worrying is not patience. But number two, worrying ain't faith. And if it takes faith and patience to get the promise, when you worry, you really shooting yourself in the foot. You're not going to be able to receive. Let's put this up. Worrying, simply put, is a lack of faith. All right, so let's go to Matthew 6:31.
So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?
Now, here's it again. Read that again. I'm going to have you read it three times. I'll tell you when to stop.
So do not worry, saying.
Stop. Read it again.
So do not worry, saying.
Stop. Read it again.
So do not worry, saying.
Stop. Here's the thing. Just thinking is not necessarily worrying. How we know you worry is about what comes out your mouth. Do not worry saying, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You may think you'll never be nothing, but you can fight through that. It's once you start saying, I'll never be nothing, that's when we know you've already given up. Be careful what you say about what you're going through. You may have to battle in your mind, but you got to be like the Shunammite woman. Even when you got something dead at home, when somebody asks you how you're doing, you don't say, well, you know, they on my kid. No, stop all that. Because people really, when they say, how are you doing? It's just a phrase of speech. They really don't want to know how you're doing. So learn how to, even when there's something dead and there's hell going on in your life and somebody say, how you doing? It is well. It is well. I'm blessed and highly favored. God has been good to me. God is good all the time. Somebody say, well, they sure are deep. I'm not being deep. I'm trying to press through the stuff that's going on in my mind. They're telling me to jump off of a river, telling me to slit my wrist, telling me that don't nobody love me. It may cross my mind, but I won't let it come out of my mouth. I'm going to declare I'm beautiful even when I feel like I'm ugly. I'm going to say I'm wealthy even when I know I'm broke. I'm going to say I'm healed even when the doctor reports say something different, because I got to be careful what I say. Because my mouth shows you where my faith is. And let me tell you something. When I get up here and start preaching a whole bunch of defeat, find you another preacher. I don't care what I'm going through. Many times y'all don't know what I'm going through, because I preach like ain't nothing going on in my life. Because I'm not here to talk about a sad story like my daddy says. I'm here to let you know I'm saved and sanctified. Even if my bills ain't paid, I'm going to heaven. Even if my wife don't love me the way she needs to be, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to quit. I'm not throwing in the towel. And I'm not going to be talking defeat. I'm not going to be talking like, excuse me. I'm not going to be talking like a punk or a sissy Christian. I'm going to be talking like I'm the head and not to tell. I'm above only and not beneath. And yet in my flesh I'm going to see God, and God going to turn it around. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. I don't care what I'm going through. You won't have it coming out of my mouth. My mouth is filled with faith. My mouth is filled with belief. My mouth is filled with possibilities. My mouth is filled with dreams and hopes and desires. My mouth is filled with what could be. Because through faith and patience, I'm getting what's mine. And yeah, it's taken a long time, but I'm still here. I had one friend, a person who met me in South Africa, and they seen me. And once they seen me and we connected on Facebook, they seen an old picture of me from 15 years earlier. I had posted a picture. And they said, you look younger now than you did back then. Because one thing about it, when God gets to doing what he does in your life, he makes all things beautiful. And let me let you know something. Sin will wear on your face.
and sin will wear in your body. But when you're lifting up the bloodstained banner, you can take a licking and keep on ticking. Mother Woods just crossed over into 80 with her birthday, or 81, either one of them, but she looked like she's 65, because when you walk with God, God will make you look better than you're supposed to look. I know women that are 25 and 35 that don't look near as good. You better thank God for being under the presence of Holy Ghost, in the secret place of the Most High, where all things are well. It is well with my soul. It's not always well with my bank account. It's not always well with my marriage. It's not always well with my body, but it is well with my soul. Because God saved my soul. One day they put him on a cross and they stretched him wide and they hung him high. And he died for me. It is well with my soul. Oh, I got to get out of here. But I heard one songwriter said, my soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. He's a wonder in my soul, because I know where my faith is. My faith is in God. Let's go to the next verse, verse 32.
For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need.
I can tell what kind of relationship you have with God based on what you run after. If you run after God, I know you got something. I know some of y'all have gone through some trials lately. Some of y'all have been so low and stuff was close to being repossessed, but you still find a way to come to the house of God, because you're not running after blessings. You're running after God, and there's nothing the devil can do to keep you from having salvation. Let me let you know, you're getting ready to walk in a season of victory that's going to make people scratch their head. You're going to have a table prepared in the presence of your enemies. God going to anoint your head with oil and your cup going to run over. Oh, hallelujah. 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 This is for the young folk. Kiki may not love you, but God still does. God is still on your side. All right, here we go. We're closing this way, so that we can get into our baptism. Bonus method to receive. Somebody say bonus method. If we put the two messages together, number one way to receive is to ask. Number two way to receive is, once you ask, is make sure you're treating others the way you want to be treated. Number three way to receive is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those can be mixed up in any kind of way you want. And number four way to receive is through faith and patience. And here's the bonus. This is like the cheesecake at the end of the meal. This is like the carrot cake at the end of the meal. This is like the banana foster at the end of the meal. This is like what the extra, this is your dessert. This is the bonus method, just so you know that I'm saying what I'm saying for a reason. Remember at the beginning of last week, we talked about ask, seek, and knock. And here's the thing. If you've asked and you knocked and it don't work, there's something in that seek that's a bonus that's in this verse. Let's go back to the bonus method to receive. Put it up, Matthew 6:33, and read it.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
I'll put your faith and your focus on God first. Not when you get in trouble. There's nothing wrong with coming to God when you get in trouble, but you got to learn how to grow from coming to God only when you're in trouble, but putting God first. When nothing is going on, putting God first. When your marriage is good, you still put God first. When there's money in the bank, you still put God first. When your body is well, you still put God first. You don't, it doesn't make a difference. He's always first. He's above your church. He's above your pastor. He's above your spouse. He's above your kids. He comes first. Oh, but when he comes first, all these things shall be added. What things? All the things that you need. I'm going to close this way. When you look at Solomon and you see that the Bible says God asked him what he wanted, and he said, give me wisdom that I may lead this people. And he said, because you didn't ask for silver and for gold, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to bring both the silver and the gold because you put me first. I always loved that scenario. But when I read it again a couple years ago, One thing that I see is that Solomon was not awake. The Bible said he was in a dream. And he responded to God in a dream and told God what he wanted, and God blessed him. God didn't even let Solomon speak in his waking hours because he may mess something up in his waking hours. So he waited till he went to sleep. Have you ever woke up speaking in tongues and don't know why you're praying, what you're doing? You calling down blessings into your life. God don't want you to wake up and ruin it with your raggedy mouth and your negative thinking. So he puts you to bed. That's why there was a bill that came to put you to sleep, so he can get you sleeping and put in you what you need to be praying and pull something out of you. It was Adam that went to sleep and woke up and there was a woman next to him, and he said, "Whoa, man," that's how she became one man. Because God put him to sleep and pulled something out of him. When you seek God, even if he got to shut you down and put you to sleep and put you in a hospital to get you to shut up, he's still going to do what he's going to do, because he's still going to find a way to bless your life. Come on, let's stand to our feet. How do I receive? I receive all these ways. Let's bow our heads. Those of you who